180 degrees, new direction. I like the change. Oh no, here he goes. Kenny Hodge and another podcast show. Yeah, you're part of my direction, cause I'm always in search of perfection. And we got some cats right now in our local headquarters that don't even have a connection. Can I get a local 304, 180 degrees? I'm knocking at the door. Open up, let me in. And then true negotiations will begin. Hey, good morning, podcast audience. Yeah, this is that guy, Kenny Hodge, branch president. You got to love the movement. 180 degrees, I'm telling you. I'm just simply trying to open up the voice of the mail handlers. Every day you go to work, you look around, you see it's not right. You know it's not right. Some people just go along with it because they're making money. But listen, we can still make money and correct some of the work habits or some of the rules and regulations that govern how we work. In fact, if we just band together and made them follow the contract, them being the agency, what a wonderful world it would be. Here we go with our podcast for this morning. As I look around and I see, just as I podcast about a week ago, clerks coming in on their non-scheduled day and they're working in makeshift cutting holes that mail handlers should be working in. Now, I've had conversation with some people in the building, and I'm not going to mention names who. Let's just talk about what we're talking about. There are some that believe that because it's a five-digit breakdown, the clerks have rights to it. There are some that believe because we did it in Twin Rivers, that makes it okay today. Then there's Ken Hodge, and I hope thousands of other mail handlers who see it as I see it. Anytime you are breaking down mails, I don't see anywhere where clerks are authorized to do that. Now, what I did was I went inside of our contract. Yeah, our national agreement. Yeah, everyone should have one. And if you go into the back around page 214, I'm sorry, if you go into the back around page 208, what you're going to see are primary craft assignments. And next to the primary craft assignments, you'll see the primary craft that should be performing that work. Now, you got to keep in mind, we just came out of a 25-year, roughly, cases being held in the Baines RI-399 settlement. Let's not get back there. So getting back to our national agreement, if you look in the back, page 208, it breaks down certain duties and responsibilities. And I want to tell you something. They go from state operations, sectional centers. Again, look in the back of your contract. But what I want you to pay particular attention to is everywhere you see primary craft being clerks, you'll see functions, manual distribution of letter mail. That's not letter trays. And that's not cutting mail. You'll see distribution of Nixie mail. Again, that's not in a cut hole, cutting mail from APCs, BMCs, into other APCs or on nutting trucks. You'll see language such as, again, when I talk about clerks, identifying and reporting as appropriate mail not meeting postal regulations. Again, I don't see any authorization for clerks to come in, cut mail in a cutting hole, receive overtime, and the mail handlers are not being compensated for that. I don't see that, folks. And now, again, since we have the folks out there that always like to fact check Kenny Hodge, here's a good chance to prove me wrong. Show it to me anywhere where clerks are authorized to break mail down. Now, I will say this to you. Inside the contract, there are certain functions that are outlined with asterisks. And I'm going to define the asterisks. And the asterisks over a function or primary craft simply means in offices where the task of obtaining empty equipment, obtaining unprocessed mail, loading ledges, sweeping and containerizing is an integral part of the distribution function. The entire operation is a function of the primary craft performing the distribution. And here's the key word, integral. And again, integral means if I take it from a cage or some form of transportation equipment and take it directly to a distribution ledge, shelf, tray, then that's integral. But when I break that mail out of an APC and put it in another APC that is then going to be transported to the mail processing piece of equipment, that's not integral. That's mail handling. Now, because of my current status, all I can do is make you aware. That's all I can do right now. And again, I kind of apologize because I'm not in my active role, because I would already be championing this cause. But here we are nonetheless. But I want you to be aware of that fact that clerks are working your overtime and cutting holes, and I hope the union is going to get dollar for dollar compensation, as opposed to maybe letting them run up a tab of $50,000 and then we settle for $8,000. And when I podcast information such as this to Local 304, Columbus, Ohio, and mail handlers who hear the podcast, I have to ask, do I sound like an individual that's anti-union? I mean, do I sound like I have anything other than the members' best interest in my podcast and my voice? Yeah, I know sometimes I podcast on hard subjects, but listen, you need that kind of hard truth every once in a while. Because of the podcast, you're able to see the actions of the local president in several offices. And let me tell you, some of the things that are being done, if it were not for the podcast, you would never know about it. So again, I'm going to continue to make you aware of what's going on in the local, in particular, what's happening in my office, Columbus, Ohio. Now, back to our podcast. You know, let me tell you, something to think about, Columbus, Ohio, and maybe other offices who hear this podcast. Not only should clerks not be allowed in cutting holes, cutting mails, clerks should not be allowed to travel the building and pull three APCs back to their equipment for dispatch. That's mail handler work. Clerks should not be allowed to stay on an allied code for 8 hours a day, cleaning up, stacking trays, shrink wrapping trays in automation. That's mail handler work also. But I can address none of that from the sideline. So all I can do is make you aware and make the local aware of these are the type of issues that I will aggressively pursue should everything go my way in November. One last point I'm going to talk about on this podcast today. Again, another current event issue in my branch, Columbus, Ohio. Group leaders. There's been some issue, there's been some talk about some group leader bid needs license, some group leader bid don't need license. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you the standard job description right from the National Postal Mail Handlers Union website on group leader mail handler MH-05. This is a standard position description. Stand by, because it reads verbatim as follow. Functional purpose: serves as working leader of a group of at least five mail handlers in an assigned work unit engaged in separating, piling, loading, and unloading of incoming and outgoing bulk mails and outside parcels on post office platforms. and at other points where bulk mails are separated or workers or work unit assigned to culling, facing, or canceling pieces of mail. So just from the functional purpose of a group leader, you have to have at least five people in order to have the bid. Again, that doesn't mean to fill the bid in a vacancy, but to have the bid, you got to have at least five mail handlers, and they work as a leader communicating to other mail handlers with respect to incoming, outcoming bulk mails and outside parcels. Duties and responsibilities. One, controls and guides a work unit of mail handlers and participates in the non-scheme separation of incoming or outgoing bulk mails, the dumping and sorting of incoming and outgoing bulk mails at primary handling units, the loading and unloading of motor vehicles and platform trucks, and the operation of material handling equipment, controls non-distribution work units requiring mail handlers, such as the culling areas, facing tables, and canceling operations. So one of the duties and responsibilities, standard duties and responsibilities of all group leaders, not some, unless there's a special bid created, is you have to have license because you can be required to load and unload trucks. Number two, assures that bins, skids, or hampers are available, full loads are promptly moved, that each mail handler is assigned a fair share of the load, and that each mail handler understands the work to be done. Number three, receives assignments and well-defined work plans and instructions on a job-by-job or day-to-day basis, ensures the work is carried through to completion efficiently and effectively. Now, again, we're talking about standard duties and responsibilities. Number four, assigns employees in the group as instructed by the supervisor to individual tasks and shift employees from one assignment to another to meet fluctuating workloads, requires proper performance of employees in their assigned duties, responsibilities, in accordance with prescribed methods, procedures, and safety practices. Again, you see nothing about beat the people over their back to make them work faster. Not part of the group leader's job. Just a little pun there, a little levity, so to speak. But again, you assign people in your group as instructed by the supervisor. Again, I know a lot of times you think I get hung up on that, but I'm here to tell you, as per your job description, if a supervisor is not there to give you day-to-day or job-by-job instructions, then you really have no right to assign anybody anywhere. A group leader position is not designed to be a supervisor position. Let's get back to the reading. Number five, resolve problems of a routine nature arising during the tour of duty. Reports unusual difficulties to the supervisor. Number six, instructs new employees in the various aspects of their assignments and ensures that adequate on-the-job training is carried out to promote employee efficiency. So, group leader, you have a responsibility that when you have new people in your group, in your bid, that they get trained properly. And when I say get trained properly, I know this may sound like some talk that you think will never come to fruition, but that means someone from the post office assigning you as a trainer or someone in EAS training them, documenting that training on a employee training record. You have that responsibility, group leader, and I know most of you don't do that for whatever reason. Not a knock against you, because you know you involve yourself too much into the job by job function. And sometimes you forget your overall function. But let's keep right on reading. Number seven, provides immediate supervisor with information for personnel actions affecting members of the group. Maintains morale amongst employees in the group. Provides leadership necessary to secure maximum interest and effort amongst employees and promote cooperation and harmony. So again, you kind of act as an intercessor, for lack of a better word, between the supervisor and the mail handlers in your group. That supervisor should be consistently communicating to you and then you communicate to the employees. Number 8, performs non-supervisory duties identical with those of employees in the group. Now, this is where you can have special postings on special group leader bids. If you are a group leader in a group that no one in your group or in that bid section is required to have a license, then you can be a group leader without license. If you are a group leader and at least one person in your group is required by bid to have license, then as a group leader, you must have license, because part of your duties and responsibilities are to perform duties identical with those of the employee in your group. That only makes sense. So again, if there is a group leader position that has no driving bids in that group, then it is understandably accepted that that group leader does not need to have a license, because that group leader can live up to the duties and responsibilities and perform every job in that group. But I say to you again, if one person in that group is required to have license by bid, then that group leader must also be required in order that they can live up to the duties and responsibilities of the bid, which states you must perform identical duties with those of employees in your group. So anything else you hear about a group leader position, please dismiss it. And if the person giving you that information isn't satisfied, then direct them to the National Postal Mail Handlers Union site, and they can look up the standard job description of a group leader, and they can educate themselves. Now, I would like to say to the union staff, hey, listen, if you're not well-versed on bids, read up on it. Excuse me, because a few employees have brought it to my attention that they're being told by union members that if they don't have a license, they can't accept the bid. You got to know that's not true. We currently have group leaders who were selected to group leader bids and were licensed after they got the bid. So let's put good information out to the employees. Also, I'm being told, and if this isn't true, then please just dismiss it. But if it is true, correct it, that employees are being told some group leaders can have license, some don't have to have license. Come on, let's stop that nonsense. Again, if you've got anybody in your group that drives and a group leader, you must have license. And union, this is how we build solidarity. We enforce one regulation, one way. You can't be aware of a violation in your pay location, but yet you want to enforce that violation somewhere else. Come on, let's keep it fair. And if you keep it fair, then the members will come to respect that union more. Kenny Hodge, have a nice day.